Now.
Welcome. For your listening pleasure, we invite ears of all shapes, colors, and sizes to experience the Audio Files Podcast.
What up, ladies and gentlemen? We are back, and ladies, I know, I promise I'm out the game, but I just want to wish you a happy boo season. I know there's a lot of you out there ghosting dudes, so I just want to wish you, like I said, a happy season with a lot of plenty of those pumpkin macchiatos, la-di-da-di, party-hardy, whatever you want to call it, extra sugar, extra whipped cream. I'll supply the whipped cream, I mean. What up, though? It's your boy, Ant. We are back with another episode of The Audio Files. And as always, I'm here with my boy, Bebo. Bebo, say what's up.
Man, I go by Bebo, and I'm excited because we have somewhat of an unofficial Audio Files outing. Me and Breadboy are going to go see Freddie Gibbs in the IE in Pomona, the Big Rabbit himself.
Speaking of Big Rabbits, the Chocolate Bunny. we got the Breadboy in the building, man. Breadboy, say what's up, homie.
What it do? Don't let me lie to you. It's actually just a date, so I'm very excited for it. I'm very nervous. It's been a while. Been out of the dating scene, so if you're put out, who knows? You know, we'll have a poll and we'll see.
I'm old fashioned, eh?
Yeah.
I'm gonna treat you good. Don't worry about it.
That's what I like to hear. I'm a little toxic, so. Slap me around a little bit sometimes, yeah.
He's gonna be suggesting that he push his head down, like, eh, eh. Like, just yeah. Come on, eh.
There's gonna be a hot Cheeto on my penis.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Got him.
Put Chamoy on that bad boy.
That's ratchet bait.
Chamoy.
Oh man.
Glad to be back, you guys.
Hell yeah. And we got the Stallion back in the stable. What's up, homie?
Speaking of small penises, what's up, y'all? It's the Stallion, a.k.a. Addy the Baddy with the Fatty. I just want to shout out my buddy Rob. It was his birthday this past Sunday, so happy birthday, brother.
Libra's in the house. Man, we have a really good episode for you guys this week. Man, Breadboy brought us Michael by Killer Mike, and what brought you to bring this to us, man?
This was one of the albums that I had listed from, I think, my previous pick, and I didn't choose that one, so I figured, let's give this one a shot. I got introduced to Killer Mike through the podcast, so thank you guys for kind of bringing this up. I had listened to a couple of songs, you know, some things caught my, caught my interest, so I figured let's dive into this, you know, it's what we love doing, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just very interesting, so I'm very excited to hear what you guys have on this album.
Hell yeah. Alrighty. So for me, man, like we said, we've been introduced to Killer Mike through Run the Jewels, a few feature tracks here and there. That's been my experience with Killer Mike, and I know he's a politico. I know he's out there doing big things for the city of Atlanta. He's been on a few TV shows here and there. And man, I just gotta give it up that this is my introduction to Killer Mike. I think, man, like, where have I been? Like, I feel like K-Dot said, man, motherfuckers used to wish that when hip-hop was rapping, if you did, motherfucker, it'd be Killer Mike, be platinum. And I think this project certifies that as far as rapping his ass goes. For me, man, I was impressed. I like the tracks. I like the concepts. I dug the cadence, the vibe. This is, like I was saying, this is one of the probably best albums to come out of the ATL in a long time. So it definitely had that Atlanta vibe, and I definitely missed it. I didn't know I missed it that much, but it was all here. Bebo, man, what were you thinking?
Yeah, so I first heard of Killer Mike on Outkast 2001 single The Whole World. And just to kind of preface it a little bit, off that single, I remember thinking to myself, whoever the hell Killer Mike is, he absolutely killed his feature. And since then, I've been following his career for the most part, which coincides with some trivia. Yeah, I have, in which Outkast at one point actually had their own record label called Equimini Records, where Killer Mike was only one of two artists to put out an album under the record label before it fell apart. It was Killer Mike's 2003 debut album called Monster. I actually bought it, and from what I remember, it's a decent listen. I do remember Big Boy's featured on there. The singles are dope. And I can't remember if Andre 3000 is featured on it. And he also came up with the Dungeon family, which includes CeeLo Green and Future and Sleepy Brown. And we see some of those members here on this album. And this one really reminded me of Kendrick Lamar's Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers album, in that the substance was there, the lyrics were there, but after listening to it for a while, there was just something missing from it for me. And I think it just came down to lack of originality in both the production and what the tracks are about. Even though I did like the track, it's like the one he does as an ode to his deceased mom. It's a song I've heard time and time again done in hip hop. And then, you know, the album had the cover of him as a kid, which I think has done been overdone in hip hop, to be honest. And it has a church aesthetic, which has been done before, as we were talking about. And apart from all of that, it is his own love letter to the city from where he's from, which is Atlanta. You hear that in his lyrics. But this all leads to my own personal opinion of why I think Killer Mike has struggled a bit to find the type of success he's had in his solo career in comparison to the success he's found with fellow rapper and producer LP, who, of course, together they formed the rap duo Run the Jewels, which we were mentioning before we started the podcast. We reviewed Run the Jewels 4, and we all unanimously liked it. I did a lot of thinking when it came to this particular topic, and my theory is that LP presents a different sonic landscape for Killer Mike and himself to rap on beats that haven't really been heard of in hip hop or aren't popular, and rapping over off-kilter, untraditional boom bap beats. I think that's what makes them original, and that's why it's been working well for them. They're on tour right now, touring the last albums they've done in the last decade. And also, this does classify under the conscious hip hop. This isn't like ATL street rap, although that is present on this album as well, I'd like to mention. But yeah, the X factor for me was just kind of lack of originality.
Right on. What about you, Addison? What were you thinking when you first heard this?
Yeah, just in the same vein as you guys. As people said, I've heard of Killer Mike through the Whole World track, and of course I thought he was rapping his ass off there. And then of course he started getting into Run the Jewels, where I think we all unanimously think that Killer Mike can just rap his ass off. So going into this project, I had some high hopes, but initial listen, you know, I liked it. Yeah. Again, it has a good vibe. I definitely thought the first three tracks felt like three different intros to the album. But, you know, at first listen, it was pretty cool. But after I kept listening to it, it kind of started to come kind of like generic. And not generic, but it started to get a little, you know, overplayed. So I thought the churchy choir thing was dope, but then again, he kept going using it throughout like at least half the album until he finally switched it up towards the tail end. And then for me, kind of the tail end of the album, it got a little slow, and then it got into the deluxe, which I'm sure we'll discuss. But overall, I thought it was a solid project, as being like my first Killer Mike album. You know, again, like I said, he could rap his ass off, but I'm still not sure about the replayability for this one for me personally.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. I would say it doesn't have the same hit the second, third time around. Impact that it had. I mean, originally it passed for me. It passed the car test, bars and cadence. And I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say this project had a lot of what we were thinking that was missing from Kendrick Lamar's Big Steppers. As far as, you know, it's kind of the same message, kind of the same album. But I feel like this one had a little bit more catchy hooks, a little bit more rhythm, more melodies. With that being said, gentlemen, what were your favorite beats off of this project? We'll go with you first, Bread Boy, since you're the birthday boy today. Well, it's not really his birthday.
Oh,
yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
you got me excited, man.
Ratchet birthday? People. Ratchet birthday?
No, yeah. My birthday year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Favorite tracks? I think for
favorite
me, I would
beats,
go
favorite
with...
Beats, favorite beats.
Oh, favorite beats. Oh, my bad. Jumping the gun right there, man. favorite beats? For sure, I would say... I say Slummer was one of my favorites. And I think... And Rich, I really enjoyed it. And I just really like the vocals of Aaron Allen Kane on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that went well with the instrumentals. You know, the best things. Beats-wise, I don't know. I think her voice is really good. So I consider her a beat.
Hell yeah.
Oh, weird.
all right. Is the human voice a instrument? I'm going to go with Get Some Money on the bonus track. It was a bonus. It was a bonus with the drill beat and some dirty keys and a synth. I dug it. Yes, also a bonus track. I love the Yes sample in the back. And then I'm gonna also go with Talking That Shit. The bass just slapped on that one, and the beat switch up was hella sick. So, all right, Biba, what about you, sir?
Yeah, and just so the listeners know, there is a standard version. I think it's 14 tracks and then a deluxe version. I did not listen to the deluxe version. I just didn't get a chance to or didn't want to. You know what I'm saying? But on the standard version, my favorite beats were definitely Enrich. I love the percussion and the piano loops on this track, and it had a boom bap beat that was kind of somber, but I liked it. Talking That Shit, Red Boy mentioned earlier, you know, there's certain producers where you just automatically know who it is, and it was DJ Paul from 36 Mafia, and I obviously love them, so my bias for that just made me love the beat. And there was like a beat switch too that was killer. And Motherless, another nice boom bap beat with that church aesthetic found throughout the album, was pretty dope as well.
Hell yeah.
Stallion, were your favorite beats off the track, off the project, sir?
Yeah, Down by Law, the opening track. I like the tempo of that one. I thought it was a pretty solid opening beat. Scientist and Engineer, some reason I thought of Interstellar. I thought it was like a spacey beat. Yeah. And then I like 2 Days as well. I thought the little the guitar set, like looping in the background, was pretty dope.
Let's see. Question, guys. Do you think, just a quick question, what do you think that they made that beat for Andre 3000, or they just had that one laying around and said, fuck, let's go in the studio and do something with it?
I think that shit sounded like an Andre 3000.
Yeah, for sure.
Like something he would rap on normally. So yeah. Maybe he had that for him and he was like, hey, you know, killer, like you could use this. I already had this.
Hell yeah. Possibly, right? All right. Speaking of which, we'll go ahead and re-up it to favorite tracks off the project. Breadboy, again, you'll go first, sir, since you made the pick today.
Favorite tracks, I would say probably Enrich for sure. I actually enjoyed 2 Days. I would say just probably those two for now. I'll go with that.
Hell yeah. I'm going to go with Slummer, man. I love the story you told on it. Like, the cadence on that, like, is just classic Killer Mike. I'm going to also go with Spaceship View. It had that Currency stoner vibe, so I dug it. And then same thing with High and Holy. And it had Biba and my boy Ty Dolla $ign. You know, as you guys may have heard, past 3 years, Biba has converted me to the church of Ty Dolla and Amen. And then Enrich, of course, it just had that vibe and that Atlanta rap feel, and I loved it. What about you, Bebo? Favorite tracks off this?
Favorite tracks. I'm gonna do Down by Law. I was just thinking to myself the other day that the last three albums we've reviewed, Olivia Rodrigo's and Post Malone, including this one too, they all had stellar intros, which, you know, sometimes is rare to find, but it's a good sign when you can get a good intro to start off the album. And Down by Law was one of those, featuring CeeLo Green, again, member of the Dungeon family. And Talking That Shit, again, the beat. This was kind of went away from that church aesthetic, which I liked. It was a hard and gritty country ATL track, which again had a beat switch that I thought was dope. Yeah. And he switches the flow, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I thought was cool too. And then Don't Let the Devil In, like I said in my intro, I think Killer Mike and LP are at their best when they're together, and I feel like this track provided a spark in the last third of the album when it kind of slowed down a lot. And I'm gonna give honorable mentions to Shed Tears, Spaceship Views. I actually like 2 Chainz a lot. I know a lot of people don't like him. You know, he's not a lyrical rapper, but I just like his energy, and I thought he brought it for this feature. And then last but not least, Motherless. And I know Addy still has to do his, but I'm going to ask you guys, once he's done, do you guys think the deluxe tracks made a difference?
Yeah, Addison, can we get your favorite track, sir?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have the intro track, Down by Law. Again, as you mentioned, the CeeLo Green kind of just kills that.
Oh, yeah.
The track for me, one of the best intros out of the three that started the album. as we mentioned, Enrich, that he was off on that one. And again, with Don't Let the Devil, again, like people said, I mean, just the energy he has with LP and Run the Jewels, just kind of, I didn't even hear the track yet. I knew that was going to be one of my favorite ones, so.
As far as did the bonus tracks make a difference, definitely made the project longer. And we could all use some length, if you know what I mean. No, I'm not kidding.
True.
But I mean,
and girth,
always girthy. I could have did without TEI. I mean, like, it just feel like he, like people said, it was a love letter to Atlanta, so I feel like he had to be on that project somewhere. But it was more of the same, you know, just coming from the struggle. Here we are, we did it, we made it. What about you, Addison? What were you thinking?
Yeah, as you mentioned, it just makes it a lot longer. Being it's kind of already a long album with 14 tracks, and I think the tracks were all pretty long, so it makes the album extra long. Nothing wrong with that, but I kind of thought about, just like we were, the EP reviewed with JPEG and Danny Brown, how it was kind of like a second little EP from the album. And I think that might have been better than kind of making a deluxe, you know, making like a side piece. But yeah, I mean, some of the tracks were cool, but in the grand scheme of things, I'm not really sure it added or did anything for me.
All right, gentlemen, let's go ahead and move on to least favorite tracks off the project. Bread Boy, do you have any least favorite tracks?
I think for me, just they all were on like the same baseline for me. Like there weren't, you know, two things I liked, things I didn't like. I think for me, just the last song, Holy and High, I believe, the just ends like with the prayer. I feel like it was just a little cheesy, corny. And I know like we're talking about like the deluxe, like the album was already a little too long, and the deluxe, you know, for me, I think we talked about it before. It's like it could have been like a whole separate thing, kind of like the DLC Scaring the Hose. I enjoyed it for by itself, those songs, you know, because I like it shorter, you know, preferably, you know, not everyone likes them longer, as you guys were discussing.
Not everybody's a size queen. You know?
Yeah, I'm more on the shorter side. You know, that's my kind of. That's my type right there.
Short and sweet, though. Short and sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
I got shit to do.
Short and sweet to the point. Nobody got time for that stuff. But honestly, I think if you listen to, I would, you know, since people hasn't listened to it, I think I would still definitely recommend to just check it out. I feel like it's a contrast from what the actual album is, just because of the, you know, the religious themes and kind of just like the motifs that we see. So it's a little different. Music's a little bit better. The features are pretty decent, and it's worth the try to just listen to it. You know, it kind of gives you like the classic Killer Mic vibe. So for anyone that hasn't checked it out, I would definitely check it out, especially if you didn't like the album. See how you feel about it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check it out with the mindset that you guys said, like kind of go into it as like a almost separate EP, you know, see if that makes a difference, I guess.
Yeah, for least favorite track for me, it's gonna be ACT UP at the end track, because by the end on the bonus version on the deluxe project, just because by that time it kind of sounds like more of the same. Sorry Bread Boy, but you're completely wrong. High and Holy is like one of the greatest songs written of all time, so sorry Beyonce, no, I was kidding. No, I'm just joking. Bebo, least favorite track, sir?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Run. This one had an epic intro with Dave Chappelle, and I thought, damn, this shit's gonna like, oh man, he's really bringing it with the intro. But not even Dave Chappelle could save how stale I thought the track was. And then, you know, again, Young Thug is more of a street rapper, and you know, I like some Young Thug tracks, I do, but he didn't really present anything on this particular track that made it special.
I usually love songs that where they go along with the theme, the title, but to me, like, it just sounded really corny, like, you know what I mean? Like, and like Bebo said, man, he had a killer, Dave Chappelle had a killer intro, but it's just like, oh fuck, we kind of like, it was a good track, but it was just corny, you know what I mean? Shit.
Yeah, like I feel like Dave should have done an intro for maybe one of the more like highlight songs on the album, you know, instead of that one. But it went with the whole Run theme, I get it, you know. But still, I love Ty Dolla Sign 2 Days, though. It wasn't even Ty Dolla Sign, it was more of a Killer Mike's cadence. I didn't really like his cadence on this particular track. It was too formulaic, I think, and I just wasn't feeling it. And then last but not least, Exit 9, Blast had an okay hook, like it wasn't anything special in comparison to some of like the Ty Dolla Signs or the CeeLo Greens. His just kind of was like the weakest link of the hooks. I feel like Blast didn't present anything
interesting. Alrighty, Addison, least favorite track, sir?
I'm gonna kind of echo Bebo with Exit 9. I thought that one was like, I don't know, at that point of the album I was like, all right, like it definitely was a skippable part for me. And then kind of what he was talking about with Run, Talk That Shit, I just I don't know, with that beat, I just wanted Killer Mike to go really hard. And he didn't go as hard as I was hoping to. And,
you know, he's like laid back.
I like it really hard, especially with that beat. Like, I need a super hard, like so hard, you know, like hard.
Like Rhino gas station peel hard.
I needed to feel it I needed to feel it in my mouth, I mean ears, you know. And I just didn't feel it, you know. And that's kind of but for really honestly, I expected him to go like really hard when he did it.
He was flaccid.
Yeah, he was more Michael and not Killer Mike.
I honestly, overall, I honestly think, of course, he raps his ass off, but there's just some bars where it just didn't like hit for a lot of his tracks. And then I don't know, when you're rapping and you just say the N word every at the end of every like verse, it kind of just like, all right, come on. I mean, I wish I could say it too, but like,
don't you say it? Don't you say it?
Hello, my ninja. Hello, my ninja. Like that.
But like, I just felt like, yeah, I just felt like it was a little like, all right, come on, give me something else, you know, give me something hard.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and move it on to any audible mentions, any hard bars that stood out to you. Yeah, let's see. I'm gonna go with Slumber Man. I love the whole concept. He's telling a story about how he like has sex with his girl when he's in high school, and then it doesn't work out. But then like they always, actually he gets her pregnant, and then he gives her abortion money, and then they have an abortion, and then she ends up getting pregnant by like a drug dealer, like, you know, like, and it's just like fucking, it was a dope idea, dope concept. And I love his concept. Is like, and his cadence is like, it's the teenage love, making love no glove, it's the abortion money, gotta get it up, it's the I still feel like I killed my baby girl, it's the it could get worse, she had a baby by a thug, it's the finally understand why women go to church and then they hum, like, you know, like, it's like, damn, yeah. Like, you know, so like I love the cadence, but I love like the story of like the pain that's underneath it all. And like you said, it's like a love letter to Atlanta and everything that everybody's going through in the city, you know what I mean?
If I got the story correctly, at the end of that track, is he saying that because the drug dealer got her pregnant, he was going to tell his friends that it was his?
Something like that.
Is this Slumber or what's
Yeah, Slumber.
Yeah, Slumber.
I think this is, I thought Slumber was the one where he confessed like, it was his, but the mom didn't want his daughter to have it.
Yeah,
but he was like looking forward to it because he was like, oh, I'm gonna be a dad. Because I thought that was the whole point. He was like, there's like the regrets, because he's like, oh, I killed my baby, or maybe it's a different song, but
it's that one.
Okay, yeah, because he says that he has regrets that he killed his daughter. It's like, I, like, what could have been, I was looking forward, but like, it's like hard to say because, like, you know, we had that option.
I was thinking that she was gonna have the drug dealer's baby, but like he was so in love with her that he was gonna raise it as his own. That was what I got out of it.
Okay. Yeah, I think in the story he gets her pregnant early, like in high school years, yeah. And then she aborts it, yeah. And then they stop talking, and then she gets pregnant from some other dude, and I think she ends up getting aborted again, no, or something like that.
It's too many abortions to keep up with, man. Like, we'll just keep it at that.
I don't know.
Yeah. This is one of his more vulnerable songs, though. I will admit. I was like, God, yeah, damn, like this shit kind of hitting hard.
Damn. I'm gonna go and same song. He goes, they call it adolescence because we learn adult lessons. I was like, damn, that was a fucking bar.
Right, yeah, there. That was hard.
Scientists and engineers with fucking Three Stacks, man. His verse stood out, by the way. And I think that's what originally brought me to want to listen to the album, because that was like the first track they were promoting, and I was just like, he just bodied that shit. I'm like, you know, it's over, dude. But like he says, petrol's cheaper than it's ever been, and I'm like, nah, dog, look, gas is fucking expensive, bro. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
How old is this track?
Did you write this shit in 98? Like, fucking, like, you know, and he just pulled it out of the notepad. Like, okay, I guess I could use this shit, but nah. I was looking at the Genius, and they're talking about, like, the abundance of weed, and, you know, how weed can be termed as gas, you know, so I was like, oh, okay, I can see that. But I was like, like, you know, like, I was like, oh, because you're writing on that plutonium, huh? You got that fucking spaceship core, but I loved Andre's Three Stacks and his whole verse and like his cadence, and then how the beat went with like a spaceship, like, and the way he was writing was like, it was like a beep boop beep boop beep boop, like a spaceship. It was like, operator, operator, I would say a prayer, connect me to a sip, a sangria, sambria, camaras, cameo, hand me out, hand a handful of hips, steaming stampede of happily happenings, dabbling in into oblivion, neon beyond, yeah, like the neon beyond. I was like, holy shit, dude, like it sounded like pew, 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 and I'm like, holy fuck, dude, this guy's on another level. And that guy needs
his alliteration is crazy,
right? I mean, but his alliteration, use of sound, use of like, he knows he's in this alien thing, and it's like perfect, like, you know, that's what we're talking about, hip-hop and creativity. He's like doing it to the max, you know. Good shit. I just really wish Outkast would come out with a new fucking album, dude. Yeah, that's pretty much what I got. Anything else that stood out to you guys?
I like on the track.
Talking that.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Eddie.
No, you go. Damn it, you go ahead.
All right, I'll go with it.
I was just going to say, okay, you go.
No, you go. No,
I don't like that Spider-Man line where he's like, the only L's that wear are followed by a baton. I was like, that shit corny, but I love it. I know he would have given me shit for that, but.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He's in Boston now. I'll just go on the track with LP. He says, Killer Mike says, slap chickpeas out your cheeks until you drool hummus. I'm like, damn, all right, shit. That's pretty hard. That was hard.
That's a dope bar. I like on talking that shit. He's like, you see, your words ain't worth no money. I ain't spoke back, bitch. All you ninjas hang together on some broke back shit.
Yeah, that shit was fucking hard. I was like, gay.
I was like, that's true.
Yeah, that's gay, but hard.
Yeah, super hard.
Literally.
Moon juice.
Yeah.
I loved on Down with the Law, dude, that run on his. I mean, I know you said he was saying, like, the N-word, like, every other line, but, like, I dug it, especially when he's talking about, like, his woman. He's like, she got the face of a model. She got the heart of a Sada. She from the gutter, my ninja. Wife and a mother, my ninja. Winnie Mandela, my ninja. Like, I love that whole that whole like contrast. Is like, she from the hood, she hard, and but she a queen though. Like, I love that shit.
Yeah. Doesn't he have a bar where he's like, I know y'all love that Run the Jewel shit, but this is my Killer Mike or something like that. Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He makes mention of like, I know you guys like on Run the Jewels, but this is like my solo shit.
Yeah, and that's what I appreciated about it. Like, I know we're familiar with him on Run the Jewels, but, like, I like for him to take it back to, like, closer to who he is, closer to Atlanta. Like, I that's what I'm saying. That's why I appreciate this shit. Like, you know what I mean? But I do prefer him to go off on those type of beats. Like, I feel like he's more free with, like, you know, LP's type of beats. Alrighty, so would we take it? We're going to take it to the producer's chair. Gentlemen, what would you do if you were executive producing this thing? You're Dr. Dre and or Jimmy Iovine. Sorry, I just saw the Defiant ones and that shit was good. Go check that out. If you had to press this out, what would you do to improve it? Go start with you, Bread Boy, sir.
Personally, I think I would cut down some of the, like, the album. It's kind of long.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I think it goes back to, like, we were talking about, like, the themes and motifs. I think it would have been a better statement if you just had one, either better bars or, like, better features that, like, would make sense.
Yeah.
Like, personally, like, when we're talking about favorite bars, like, I think one of the ones that I, like, enjoyed was for Track and Rich, when he was saying, like, when the revolution let loose, they cutting master's throat. A in the 80s as babies, we sold master's soap, labeled us as nuisance. They use the courts like noose and rope. I was like, god damn, like, this guy. It's probably, like, the only better statement that I liked, where it felt like it was more activism. Because I think he did say some stuff, like, you know, like, free this person, but it was like, you know, I feel like other people have done better versions of activism. And we talked about, I think we said Kanye has done, like, a pretty decent job. I know, like, Kid Cudi, Kid See Ghost, I think that was a pretty good, like, just spiritually. For sure, we have Kendrick. I think Kendrick in general has had, like, a pretty good relationship with just activism and religion, you know, from, like, Section 80 to Damn. I think even Chance, like, I think Coloring Book, like, there was some, like, opening about, like just vulnerability about, like, church and faith and just some activism. So I guess for me, I would want to see more features with someone that is on the same boat, you know, like maybe Common. I know Common's pretty big on just, like, activism. Just small features like that. I think that would have been a bigger statement for me, because I think that was, like, one of my big... Well, I think everyone was kind of in agreement. It's like, if you're going to do the religion, like, I think you're going to... You got to do it well, you know? And I feel like this one, Killer Mike kind of put himself in the box. And you got to be original and just, you know, everyone does it, but you got to put your own, like, spin to it. And how do you stand out from that? So even if it means adding features or just... I think that would have at least made it... more repeatable for me, right? in my opinion.
All right, what about you? I mean, for me, I'm gonna go ahead and say kind of the same thing. I think this project was kind of missing, like, that political stance, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like since he's doing so much in the community, he's missing, like, a political track. Like, fucking say it, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was kind of edging towards that direction, and I think somewhere in the middle, like, a big FU to, like, not any name president in particular, but like just holding, you know, the system at large, in general, you know what I mean? Like kind of like saying, hey, what the fuck's going up with the government? What the fuck's, why can't we get this shit? Like, I mean, saying like, as much as like, I don't like when hip hop gets too political like that, I think he kind of missed the moment on that. And like, he could have had his Tupac moment in Me Against the World, where like, he just says like some bars and shit and like, fuck yeah, why doesn't this shit make sense? Why do our schools suck? Why are fucking prisons overpopulated? Why are fucking, you know what I mean? So I feel like, because that's kind of like the whole theme of the album. So I would have did that. I would have cut some tracks like Red Boy said, and a Common feature I think would have been fucking fire, dude. Somebody like a Common, Most Def, one of those underground cats who's just kind of on the same length. I think even, I mean, it sounds kind of out there, but like, in a Moral Technique track, like, I know he owes him for Civil War, so I was like, hey, give me a swap. Give me one for one, dog. So that's just my opinion. What about you, B-Will? How would you improve this album?
Yeah, I think it was missing some more high-energy tracks. And I know he went with the church aesthetic, but like we said, I think it just made the album too bland for me, found throughout the album. And yes, he did have some high energy songs, but I think he needed like one or two more perhaps in cutting off some of the weaker tracks. And I was also just thinking while you guys were talking, like the what he was trying to accomplish was really hard, because he has this album where he's doing conscious rap and he's a, you know, by and large, like a conscious rapper, but he's featuring artists that encompass Atlanta, which is so diverse. And like, you know, you have your Andre 3000, but then you also have your Future. And that's the thing, is like, I have to give kudos to Mozzie, who he's not from the A, but even though he's a street rapper, I feel like he still presented a verse that went along with the theme of the album, you know, where it was heartfelt and, you know, he spoke about it from his perspective. So that's kind of what I have to say about it. Those are my thoughts. I know not all the artists are from Atlanta, but most of them were.
Right on. Alrighty. Let's see. Addison, dude, what would you do to improve the album?
I agree with you guys. Make it a little shorter. Maybe it said make the deluxe album more like a side EP. Maybe do more tracks with LP. Maybe all the tracks with him. Maybe call the album Run the Jewels instead of...
Run the Jewels with Michael.
Yeah, featuring Michael. I agree with, like I said, just shorter. Maybe make it smaller, trim the fat a little, like we always say. And I don't know, like a Ludacris would have been kind of cool if you wanted to really throw some out. Like,
yo,
that would have been a nice, like, high energy track. Would have been cool. Like you said, he didn't really. I don't know if he was, like you said, trying to keep the conscious lane, but like Run the Jewels is able to keep the conscious lane, but still able to like add that energy, you know?
Right.
So we kind of needed that.
And it was a weird dynamic, I feel like, where he was doing the conscious stuff, but then he'd have features like Future, who that's not really like Future's lane, you know? And not to say that Future can't do that, but I don't think Killer Mike brought out the best in those kind of artists on this particular album, like the Young Thugs and, you know, Futures, the Currencies and the 2 Chainz. So
yeah, like Killer Mike's talking about how he's having an abortion, then Future goes like, yeah, I fuck bitches raw. I'm like, that's a really cool.
Like, I do it all the time.
I don't know if that really works there. But all right.
True. And we didn't talk about Something for the Junkies, which featured Fabo from D4L, and they were known for in the early 2000s.
Not Laffy Taffy.
Yeah, glorifying and promoting like drug use. And I think they're the ones that introduced the term geeking, which basically means like you're on a lot of drugs. And the song is just kind of, it's full circle, because it's Fable like, this is a song for the junkies, you know? And maybe he's saying I'm one of those guys, or used to be at least. You in trouble, check me out.
Pay us now, check me out. Pay me double. Alrighty. We're going to go ahead and take it to the Check Me Out segment, RIP Nipsey Hussle forever. This is the part of the episode where we refer you to any other music by tonight's featured artist. Does anybody have anything besides Run the Jewels? I mean,
I'm going to go ahead and throw out his debut, Run the Jewels. Anything and everything from Run the Jewels. But I'm going to throw out his debut album, the one I was talking about called Monster. It did have some good singles on there. One of them was on one of the NBA lives for PS2, I remember, and it's a fucking, or was it, might have been Madden, I don't know, it was one of those two.
Yeah, Never Scared, but, right?
It's a dope
I
track.
I ain't never scared.
No, it's called like Action or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's produced by Andre 3000 actually, but I'm gonna throw some tracks from that on our Check Me Out on Instagram if you guys follow us. Some tracks I like from that album. One of them's like about toxic relationships and stuff. That's really good. And Killer Mike goes off. So
hell yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and go with Civil War, as mentioned previously, by Moral Technique. It has Brother Ali, Killer Mike on it. I think even Chuck D from Public Enemy. Is just one of those like revolutionary songs. Just fucking makes you want to go and fucking tear down the White House. Not really, but metaphorically. With lawfully, I mean. we believe in democracy here at the Audiophiles.
Sorry, go ahead. I was gonna say real quick before we rate the album, I want to ask you guys real quick. We were talking about this before. Do you guys think in 50 years hip hop has ran its course? Where like it's harder for artists now to make original music or like stuff that's like fresh? Go for it.
I think the lyricism is always gonna be an element, and I think the materialism is always gonna be an element. I don't know, man, because it's kind of like rock and roll, where it's kind of like you can only do so much within the trope. I mean, hip hop's supposed to be a free kind of poetic type of landscape where you had a lot of poetic freedoms, a lot of poetic license. But I seem like I've even told people, like, I've been in the studio with like engineers, and like I have like three songs that I record, and they're like, I'm not gonna record that one because that one's not gonna make a lot of money. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck, like, you know, like, no, but I'm tacking my name to it and I want to get famous fast. And it's just like, so I get that element, like, especially on the business level, like the record label level, like you want to maximize your profit for your time. But it's just like, it seems like now that's such an integral part of the game and the industry. And so it's like, I know we're always going to have the creative, like underground artists who are going to do their own thing, but it's just hard because it's like, we don't see that in the mainstream no more. We don't see the fucking Lauryn Hills. We don't see the Three Stacks. So it's like, if I got to put my money where the dollar goes, I would have to say it's kind of limited. You know, the underground rapper goes from the rags to riches story and then kind of finds God again. We hear the church aesthetic. We've heard it with Kanye. We've heard it with Eminem. We've heard it with, you know, a bunch of cats in and out. So as much as because it's either that or fucking old man rap like, King's Disease or fucking Larry June. So who knows, man?
For sure.
I can go next.
No, just.
For me, I think that it's still possible. I feel like I kind of agree. Like, I think it's just easy to just fall into like being lazy and pick up the themes of, you know, like for activism. And, you know, a lot of people bring in jazz, which is kind of like what Killer Mike did. You know, is it the, you know, the synth, the organs, the jazz inspiration, which all kind of, I don't know, I guess it gets kind of a little cheesy. But I know, like people say, like, and we've mentioned, like, there's a lot of artists who have like done these and done better, or at least, you know, at least better than this album, I think, you know. I think one of the like an examples that didn't work out, I think, is Spillage. Was it Spillage Village or in fact the Dreamville group? They did a whole album on religion, and I think like some songs we enjoyed, but I think for the majority, a lot of us weren't really happy with that album. And there's just, I don't know, I feel like you could still always try to add your own twist, and I feel like maybe just on this one, Killer Mike just didn't really double down on who he is and just the whole political statement. So I feel like you still can add your own twist in my personal opinion and still pull out a decent album.
Right on.
For sure.
Addison, thoughts?
Yeah, I think in terms of hip hop and just music in general, kind of it could, I think it has run its course, and I think it has run its course, but I don't take that as like a really bad thing. I kind of think of it as fashion, as it, you know, kind of fashion changes and then kind of loops back around, as you can see nowadays, as I make myself sound old, like what the kids are wearing nowadays or what the kids are listening to nowadays. Like
back in my day.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, music changes, and even now music's a lot different, and Rose music's going to get even more different. You could have your hip hops, like the ones that I will not really listen to that are like kind of just your generic type of music, but you can also have artists like I personally like you could say Run the Jewels or your Denzel Curry's, your JID's, like those are like rappers. But I mean, again, has music run its course? I think, yeah. And I think over time, it'll get its groove back and it'll change, and then, you know, that's when again music kind of just keeps, or music and hip hop just keeps evolving with that change, and hopefully it evolves, because maybe we're on a downward spiral with that, but I think eventually we'll get pick, it'll pick up again. So has it run its course personally for me? Yeah, but again, I hopefully it'll just pick up again, or if not, we're screwed. I'll just listen to something else, I guess.
Yeah, back in my day, there wasn't so much rappity rappity hippity. Yeah. Hoppity, back in my day, rappers actually rapped and shit like that.
But you can even say with, like you mentioned, like the Nas album, like Nas back then is a lot different than it is now. Eminem back then is a lot different than now. And when they try to bring that trope that they worked back in the day, like I know you love Eminem, but his music back then was a lot different than it is now. And in my opinion, it doesn't really work as well as it did before. But you know, sometimes if you keep staying in that lane, you're not gonna really.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear a 50-year-old talking about how he's taking drugs and still stabbing people.
Yeah,
I agree. and so with that being said, I think we're gonna go ahead and give this thing a rating. Red Boy, you can go ahead first, sir.
Rating 3.8.
Holy shit. I had high regards for it. I'm gonna go on the limb. This is probably my favorite hip hop album out this year. Just because there wasn't much out this year. It's great, but like Beeble said, I think that the thing that holds it back is its replayability. Although for me, I'm a rapper's rapper, man. I love the cadence. I love the flows. I love the Atlanta vibe. Like I said, I haven't heard anything out of Atlanta this good in a while. So I'm gonna give it a 4.6. I'll give it a 4.6. All right, Beeble, your rating, sir.
Yeah, again, this one lacked originality. And I think just being someone who, you know, we've been listening to hip hop for a long time. And that's a hard thing to do, right? Like you're trying to present something new done in a fresh way. And although the lyrics were there, the substance was there, the replay value and just the originality wasn't there. And so I'm going to give it what Bread Boy, like around that, I thought it was a C plus. I'm gonna give it a 3.9.
Hell yeah. All right, Addison, sir, what would you give it, sir?
Yeah, I guess for me too, I'm gonna echo kind of what Beeble said. The replayability is not there too much for me. But again, Killer Mike can rap his ass off. But I don't know, just kind of fell flat. And I gave it the same rating, 3.9 out of 5. It's like a high C.
All right, well, Beeble tabulates that. I'm just going to say, man, I can see why an album like this would go underlooked. At the ripe age of 48, you know, like we said, this album's a lot similar to The King's Disease, Larry June, old grown man rap. That's probably why I enjoyed it so much. I feel like I'm, like, at that stage in my life where I'm like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, make up for your sins. Fucking yeah, hell yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so that's why I pretty much enjoyed it. And, like I said, I think as far as, like, lyrical capability, like K-Dot said, man, this guy could rap his ass off. And I appreciate rappers like that. It's just, you don't see much of it anymore. So, does it go along with the rest of the landscape of what's out there right now? Not quite. It stands out in that regard. So, with that being said, what do we have for us, Beeble?
If I can get a drum roll, please. We have a aggregate score of 81%, a B minus.
Yay, I raised it. You got extra credit, Mike. You got a B, barely.
I did want to add for the check me out. His Joe Rogan podcast, like I think the one from like 2 years ago, I thought it was pretty good. I think like Killer Mike really just talks about, it really shows like how intelligent he is. Yeah, like how intelligent he is, and like how he's actually pretty big on the activism.
Yeah.
He's like out helping people, he's really trying to like make people aware of like this is like we gotta do better, like these are things that we could do better, like kind of like in the hood thing, like you know, like no one's talking about like real estate, like no one's talking about how no one taught us about credit or how to start a business, and like he's kind of like doing that and help
get them dividends, get some properties, like just
an old like Larry June kind of version, because
yeah,
like he has like barbershops in the Atlanta stadium, like the Falcon stadium.
That's fucking dope.
So I would definitely check it out. I really enjoyed that podcast. I think it's like one of my top podcasts, like next to the Freddie Gibbs one for Joe Rogan. It's funny because like they both get like really high to a point where like Killer Mike kind of just forgets what he was doing like hour like three. So, but it's good because like Killer Mike just like really enjoys like talking about all the stuff that he's learning. He like likes just like sharing that knowledge. So I definitely check it out if you guys haven't.
Oh yeah,
hell yeah.
I think Bill Maher has his own podcast too called Club Random, and Killer Mike was on there, and I checked out a clip. I'll throw that on there too, and it was an interesting conversation, to say the least.
Hell yeah. Also check out Killer Mike on Dave. It kind of focuses around him because Dave is like trying to get the love of Atlanta, and he loses Rick Ross's chain, and he tries to go get it back from, like, he tries to seek Killer Mike to get it back. He gets it back another way, but he sees Killer Mike at the end at a gala and is like, oh my god, it's Killer Mike. So go check that shit out. That was pretty cool. They made a cameo. All right, with that being said, gentlemen, would you cop the vinyl? I know I haven't asked this question in a while. We'll ask the bread boy first.
If I had a record player, if I had money, I might. It'd be at the bottom too, though. Also, I kind of want to see, like, if it's like the album cover, I don't know. Maybe not. But if he had like a weird, maybe his deluxe, like it was a little bit more different. I think it's cool. Like the Run the Jewel ones are pretty sick, but I don't know. I will go with no.
Hell yeah. I just thought, like how I said, like I agreed to that. Like hell yeah, good answer. I'm gonna go ahead and just say because I enjoyed the album. I liked Killer Mike. I'm probably gonna get whatever Run the Jewels albums I can get my hands on, and this one for sure. That's on me though. That's like way down the line when I got extra money, I'm bored. I'm like, okay, I'll get that one. Like, you know, which one don't I have? So, eventually, 200 records later, probably yeah. Bebo, would you cop the vinyl, sir?
This is one I don't think I would. I know it's kind of a cheating answer, but I always say, like, if I saw it on sale, you know, if I saw it on the clearance rack and if it was a decent price, and yeah, I would. Like, you know, I wouldn't spend more than $10 for it, but I don't know if that answers your question. Ooh, so no, but unless it's on clearance.
What if Killer Mike was selling it online and all the proceeds went to charity in Atlanta?
Only if he signed it.
Okay.
If not, then I don't give a fuck.
Fuck the town. San Bernardino.
Yeah, bitch. I need that signature.
Addison, would you cop the vinyl?
I know Bebo says that the like preschool photo or kids photo is kind of generic, but I kind of like the album cover.
Yeah, right.
Kind of calling back to D, who would sometimes be like, I kind of like just the art of it. I'd consider it. I mean, I looked at the vinyl online. It's like $30, and if it was free shipping, and the vinyls are dope, they're like different colors. Maybe. I think I wouldn't go out of my way to find it, but if I did, I definitely would consider it.
Oh yeah. Alrighty. With that being said, I believe we got some news today. Bebo, would you want to set us off, sir?
Yeah, you know, we've been throwing Sexy Red's name around as a joke, and I just wanted to put it out there that a sex clip of hers did leak. Oh, and it's sad to report that she doesn't go to Pound Towns, so she's kind of a phony. I don't know, you know, what she was talking about in that track, but she was not in Pound Town. And then my friends and I were talking about it, and the guy who's, you know, performing sex with her has to spin on it. So he's like, wow, like, she doesn't even have that WAP, you know?
Dang.
So it was just it's not a good look, Sexy Red.
That might be a medical condition.
And then she has like her bonnet on and like she's not making any noises. It was just, I don't know.
Oh,
she needs to change her name to Lame Red. Yeah.
Dead Fish Red. Really red. Yeah. Oh, that shit wasn't sexy at all. Like, I turned the video off.
I know she did the podcast with Theo Vaughn, and I have to double check. I saw that it might have been because of comments she made supporting or in support of Donald Trump, and like someone because of that support decided to like leak her shit. I don't know if that's true, but either way, her video got leaked. And I mean, well, yeah,
she does wear red, so she's obviously Republican.
That's true. And then just that's a good point. And just some quick film news that I thought was kind of cool. Back in 2007, I don't know if you guys saw the Quentin Tarantino Robert Rodriguez Grindhouse movie. You know, it was like a double feature in the movies, which I haven't seen done since. That one came out in, like I said, 2007. It was Death Proof and Planet Terror. Well, anyways, if you went to go see it in theaters like I did, in between the movies, they had this fake trailer for a holiday movie called Thanksgiving. And it was very short. It was like a minute or something, done by Eli Roth, who is of course, in Inglourious Basterds. And then he did an acting part in that and The Idol, which we talked about on HBO, but he's actually directing a real Thanksgiving movie, and it comes out next month. And I thought that was interesting after all these years. Like, it's coming out.
Is that one a horror one?
Yeah. Like a, it's supposed to be like a corny, yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw that one. That shit looks good, dude. It's like, yeah, there's nothing scarier than Thanksgiving. Like, fuck yeah. Like, you know? Like,
yeah, but the funny thing is, it was like a fake trailer back in 2007, and like now it's becoming like a real movie. So I thought that was interesting.
That's where we're at in Hollywood. Let's throw money at it. Yeah, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, gentlemen? Tupac's murderer, Keefe D, was recently booked. Although people are saying Keefe D's not the real murderer, I think, you know, hip-hop's right now kind of rejoicing, but at the same time skeptical. I know the officer who was involved in the investigation, like, he's been throughout saying, like, in all the documentaries that it's QVD, it's this guy, QVD, connected with the Crips and blah, blah, blah in L.A. So, I guess it's kind of nice to have some kind of...
Closure?
Yeah, closure, I guess. I still believe he's Tupac's alive somewhere in Cuba. That's just me, though. and so, yeah, man, but then, also got to give a shout out to, give it up to Big D, man. He was getting me, he's getting all of us kind of into the battle rap scene. And, a couple weeks ago or a couple Saturdays ago, they had Blackout 8, and man, that was a packed card. For those of you that don't know, Blackout 8 is like it's a battle tournament, or actually a battle show. It's kind of a pay-per-view. Some of the top liners from the industry kind of go in and battle rap against each other. And unlike most, I guess you could say, performances or pay-per-views, they didn't promote the battles. So you didn't know who was battling. So it was kind of like a Rolodex thing. And it's like, so-and-so's battling, so-and-so. And like, they battled that night. Of course, they prepared for each other. But man, it was pretty good. They had whatchamacallit, Geechee Gotti versus Hollow Han. That one was kind of all right. That was more like a... homage to Pat Stay, and then Rum Nitty versus Illmac. Illmac went crazy because Rum Nitty called himself the alien, so he had a bunch of the alien predator flips. And I was telling Bebo, he did this cool thing where he was at the end of his round, he was like, distance, and nobody was getting it. He's like, oh fuck, I mean time, like, you know. So it was like smart shit like that. I'm a sucker for intelligent shit. And then let me see, they also had Thesaurus versus Mike P, just kind of two white guys who were top of the battling, you know, competition, and fucking just killing each other. And then, man, they had a Tricky P and freaking, I forgot what the other guy's name was, but it was basically a mirror match, and it's just basically these two white guys out-whiting themselves, basically. Kind of, it was kind of funny. I mean, I forgot what homie's name was, but he basically said, I'm so white, my heritage is failed marriages. And like, it was just hilarious and shit. So that shit made me laugh. They had Loso versus Jay the Nightwing. Yeah, he was pretty good. That's what I'm saying. He was kind of doing like the I'm the sleazeball. It was like the Christian versus the sleazeball. So some good comparisons and angles and the battles and stuff like that. So good stuff. If you ever get a chance, go ahead and check it out. Just sad that the girl Myverse didn't get a chance to perform. She was scheduled to go, but I think Charlie Clips had a death in the family or something like that, so her battle was scrapped. But man, I was waiting to see her. All right. With that being said, gentlemen, songs of the week, anything you've been listening to, anything you've been vibing to, anything you would just want to share with the listeners, put them on to something new, that new. It's up to you, Bread Boy, since it's your week. We'll go ahead and let you go first, sir.
Oh man, thank you. I just saw Thundercat this last week.
Dope.
Probably one of, yeah, it was definitely, he brought out some big stars. He brought out his opener, I forgot, like Pedro or something like that. He brought out Childish Gambino. He brought out Steve Lacy.
Wow.
He brought out his old band, Suicidal Tendencies, which were great. And then he ended up bringing out Kevin Barker from Tom and Paula. So definitely,
wow,
pulled out like a 2-hour set. For sure, I was so tired after that. I was like, this guy does not stop.
He keeps going.
Yeah, and I was like, damn, so this is really good. But yeah, like the songs with like Steve Lacy and Gambino, I was like, yeah, these are solid. Like, I didn't even know that like Thundercat had, like, Gambino was like, yeah, like, I want to give a shout out to like Thundercat. Like, he helped me write the song when I was like still a no one.
Holy
like,
cow.
He was, yeah, and I was like, damn, like, I was like, Thundercat must be like really old then.
That's what I was seeing. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, so I was like, that's a while ago, because like that album came out like early, like maybe like 2007, because of the internet.
Oh, shit.
2011 maybe.
Fuck.
Oh yeah, yes. Okay.
So So I think that song, like Shadows, I think that was the name of the song. So Shadows and then Black Quills. That's the one with Steve Lacy. But that's on the Thundercat album. So those two songs. But yeah, it was definitely a top concert to go to and brought a bunch of cool people. So those are my picks.
Hell yeah, I got two. This one came up and it was just like an oldie but goodie. Snowboarding Seeds coming up. I was like, oh, I forgot. I need to add that one to my list. Rage Against the Machine, Fistful of Steel, just that fucking raw energy we love. And I swear to God, them and fucking Run the Jewels gotta fucking make a collab album. Like, throw some Cypress Hill in there and then fuck, my 90s wet dream is good to go. and then I'm gonna go ahead, and this one also came up when I was working out, and it's oldie but goodie too. Spooky, especially spooky for the Halloween season, and that's Big L, Danger Zone. So go check that shit out. I love that shit. Bebo, songs of the week, sir.
Yeah, I just have one. It's a band I'm not familiar with, but they came out with a single off what's his name, L. Michael's Affair, like the band. I forget what his what the guy's name is, but he owns his own record label, and they released, I think it's a European band. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like Bacow Rhythm and Steel Band. And they did a cover of the Stranger Things theme. And ooh, it has like a Halloween theme to it. So
I think I heard that. That's just pretty cool. Yeah, it's just pretty fire.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, an electronic version kind of deal.
It was like a live kind of instruments cover.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Addison, song of the week, sir.
Yeah, I got a couple, which is kind of funny, kind of some callbacks to some albums that I chose to review back in our earlier episodes. Starting off with Black Pumas have an album coming out at the end of the month called Chronicles of a Diamond, and they have a track on there called Miss Postman. So shout out to them.
Oh, yeah.
Then my last track is an Olivia Rodrigo track that she actually covered of a song from Noah Kahan's album called Stick Season. So it's kind of like crazy how those are the last two albums I chose, and she covered one of the songs. So wow. I thought that was kind of cool.
Nice. Hell yeah. All right. Speaking of choosing albums, if you would like to wish to play along with us for next time, Bebo's got the pick for this one. And I think we're slutting ourselves out this time. Is that, am I correct?
Well, I hate to do back-to-back hip-hop albums, but I just think it's too obvious to not do it. Plus, we've never reviewed an album of his so far. It's Drizzy Drake's new album. I think it's going to coincide with what we've been talking about. Like, do artists fall off after 10-plus years? So I'm curious to get all our thoughts on his new album, For All the Dogs.
The longevity question.
Oh, damn. That's my Gerbil's Quince that weekend, so I won't be able to make it, guys. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Shout out to D.
Yeah. Not me.
Wherever you are.
Yeah.
You're dead to me, D. Dead.
I will actually be listening to the album with both my dogs. Just for them. Like, so yeah, that's what I'll be doing. I'm just kidding. Wearing fucking Toronto Raptor jerseys.
No pants.
No pants, yeah. Bare ass on the rug. All right, that's gonna do it for us here on the Audiophiles. You all stay sexy like we know you are, and hopefully we'll get more listeners with this slutting out, or actually a sliming out of Drizzy Drake. So we'll see you guys next time here on the Audiophiles. Peace.